are dropping it this Friday. Well, it's technically Thursday. I hate the midnight drops, but it's Thursday at midnight, but Friday midnight. Does that make sense? Anyways, it's this week, Thanksgiving, after you done fucked your goddamn turkey, calories off, get on the computer, go to whorehive.com and get some motherfucking merch. We have a Mondays are my favorite for you pussy assholes who still gotta go into work. We also have a segments t-shirt that says kink of the week, vanilla shit, hors d'oeuvre, horrible decisions, and home mail. We didn't want to put whore on everything. Our mask says, I like my man 6 feet away. And then, of course, we got the boy shorts to put on your little booties. So, guys, go to whorehive.com and get your merch now. Thank you guys for supporting. Now let's get on with the show.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Hey, you. Thanks for listening to Horrible Decisions this week. Mandy and I just wanted to present a trigger warning. This is a really fun episode. I think this girl is fucking disgusting and funny and sexy, and it's great. However, there is conversation about rape, so we just wanted to make you aware of that sensitive material. Otherwise, listen up, enjoy, make sure to follow us on IG, horrible_decisions, write us on Twitter, tell us how much you love this pod at Horrible Pod, and hey, leave us a review. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Make sure you subscribe,
rate, and review wherever you are listening to us. I'm your girl, Mandy B., a.k.a. Pet Stallion, a.k.a. Tripod Mommy.
Hi, I'm Wheezy. I'm not the biggest whore in the room. We have a guest. I'm just kidding.
Who might have us beat?
I'm definitely the biggest whore in the room.
Okay,
I thought she
has
new.
The biggest tits in the room. I know that.
Are these new?
These are real new. You got help,
You said they're real new?
They're real new. These are COVID tits.
I was about to say, bitch, you got them in quarantine.
That's a great
idea. I went to California in May and got the tits done.
Bitch, you got it in during the pandemic.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, you can touch
mine. You can touch mine too.
Okay.
Yeah, hers are fake as well.
So wait, is this?
These are the Cadillacs.
Cadillac. They're not saline?
No, they're silicone, but the high grade silicone.
Oh, same. This is when I don't know. Start to drop right, when you're at 8.
Okay.
But my boobs look just like that in the beginning.
They feel good too. Yeah.
In the beginning, I remember it being right here, and I had that porny look, and then it went away, and I was so upset.
So I want to just briefly share that I got to see these tits in lace, and I was just like, God damn, her body's nice. The tits probably were, you know.
Yeah. It's also like your tits are a function of like the way your tits were before. So I had like really high flat titties.
That's absolutely what it is. Like the teardrop shape that I had, I kind of thought I would lose. I thought it would get more round. But it's like you just get bigger tits. Literally, it's your boob when you get the silicone type.
Yeah.
Right? When you get the implants and they match and form to the way your boobs already looked. Opposed to silicone where it's kind of like they just fill them up and turn into their own. But I mean, of course, they're safer if they break. But I don't give a fuck.
Wait, they can break?
These are silicone. If they break, I could die.
Well, they say...
I was about to say, like...
So people get saline because, you know, it'll just dissolve into your body opposed to silicone, which can harm you. That's why a lot of people don't like silicone. However, silicone feel and look better.
Those are the ones that if you, like, hit it too hard, it'll pop, you mean?
No, they don't pop. It's just, like, they could be more damaging. They're both just as good. It's the casing. But silicone is going to feel like a gummy bear. It's going to feel like real tits.
Yeah, they look nice. I'm going to not try to look like now. I'm going to try to be respectful.
Just let a hoe know if the tits get out.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be on areola watch. I'll be doing that.
I mean, we might have to blur it out. Benson,
just be
what
on.
A great job you have
today.
You know
today. What I mean? No, I ain't going to lie. Like, when I go out with my friends, depending on the outfit, I'd be like, all right, bitch, you on areola watch. Because
I feel like my friends forget. I'm like, why didn't you say anything? They're like, I didn't even see it, bitch.
Like, people just tell me I thought you knew. I'm like, no, I did not know.
I can't feel them anymore. So your name is Dayanara. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do for work, why you're on our show. I mean, you said you're a hoe, but...
I mean, you said she was a hoe before. She could say she was
agreed.
A hoe. She
agreed.
She did agree.
Look at her outfit. It was an educated guess.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah, if you want to introduce yourself, and then I can also say where I met you.
So I'm a fetish performer and educator. I was a stripper before the pandemic, which is why I decided to do the tits, like, during the pandemic, so I wouldn't have to worry about recovery. But I perform, and I teach workshops, and I have my own private business in bottoming, which crosses over both to anal bottoming and to BDSM submission and kink.
So I'm excited to talk about that. When you were stripping, You said you're a fetish performer. Were you different than the other strippers there because you did different type of stuff, or you just branched into this?
Well, I mean, I started stripping like in the fall.
Okay.
I mean, I had some friends in it. They got me into the scene. But at the strip club I worked, which was Sapphire's, like right here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They did. So there's a friend in our community who's the artistic director there, Warren Archer. Mm-hmm. And he has a kink room. So that was my specialty at the strip club. Like I would take couples in there or like
someone. What was it like?
Yeah. What are you able to do at a strip club with in kink?
Well, if there is a St. John's cross and there are whips and floggers, you can do a lot in a strip club.
Oh, valid. Oh,
that's fun. Yeah.
Very fucking valid.
Because people go to dungeons for that, but you would never think they'd go to a strip club. I wouldn't think that.
Well, they don't really expect it, but once they're there and like it's a couple and they're like, oh, we want to play with you or we want to learn something.
Yeah.
And that's honestly more fun than stripping. It's like getting to have a real experience with a couple.
Yeah. And then you can teach them. So when you're stripping, I'm curious to know, like, have you enjoyed yourself? We had a stripper come on, Giselle. She was very popular. She was involved with the stripper strike, but that was a while ago.
Yeah.
When you're stripping, do you get turned on by it? Do you feel like it's just work? Like, how does it feel for you?
For me, it's my own fantasy. I get to embody a certain aspect of my personality, of my sexuality. So I identify as gender nonconforming, but when I'm a stripper, I'm totally female. It's okay. A really fun play space.
How do you identify then outside of the strip club? What do you mean you're gender nonconforming, but as a stripper, you're a female?
As a stripper, that's my full female persona.
Okay. All right. So
I think Mandy just wants you to elaborate on gender nonconforming.
Gender nonconforming means I inhabit both energies, like male and female.
Me too. That's me then.
Equally strong. But it's also connected to the fact that I do have a hormone condition. So I have naturally more male testosterone than the average female, less female.
How would you find that out?
I mean, you just find that growing up, not having a period.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Right. I came around like, oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I have been pregnant. That was a mistake. But I menstruate like once, twice a year. So for a while, I was like writing free. Like,
So how do you know when you're ovulating?
I mean, I still get the symptoms. Like, I'll still get super depressed. But like, I don't get my period. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, I feel like I don't want to overstep here, but it sounds like a blessing in disguise.
What I'm saying. I've been pregnant, so you got to be careful.
But what's the bad? What's the negative to this? Because this sounds like a pro.
I'm not going to lie. I want to be more. Can I inject? I need some more testosterone. I need some more testosterone.
You can definitely have a little bit. You want a little bit?
You know what I mean? Give me a little bit. But damn. So two periods a year. Yes, that sounds like a fun. Like, I'm literally planning trips around my period.
Are you ever scared that you're pregnant because you rarely have periods?
Honestly, I just keep a bunch of
pregnancy tests.
I got a drawer. The anxiety of not knowing.
I would hate that. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's better than hating it coming every fucking month, but still.
So wait, do you take a pregnancy test like monthly? Because you do have multiple partners.
I do have multiple partners. So I do take tests pretty often. Like,
oh, shit. Every 5 weeks?
Yo, chill.
What? I'm just saying, by the fifth week is when you know.
Maybe she uses condoms or something. Damn.
Do you use condoms?
I have like fluid bonded partners. So
fluid bonding partners.
That means
they be bonded with their fluids. So, bitch, she don't be wearing condoms every time. So, every 5 weeks, right?
Every 5 weeks.
Okay, I can rock with that. So, speaking of, before we get into this, because clearly we have a ton of questions about BDSM, bottoming, because bottoming, to me, of course, I've always used that term for men who bottom for other men. But before we get into it, I wanted you to kind of differentiate, because you actually said you found kind of almost the safety in sex through BDSM, but also through differentiating it between noticing that you had a previously abusive relationship.
Yep.
So can you kind of talk into how you differentiated between the two? Because there could be listeners right now, we've often talked about BDSM, where they could really actually be in more of an abusive relationship than a BDSM one.
So, like, my story, and it's a bit of a controversial thing to say, so this is like a content warning to everyone. But
trigger warning.
I was, like, my first relationship, it went down a wrong path, and then there was an incident of rape.
Okay.
And when I confronted that partner and said, like, hey, what happened last night? I know it was a fight, but that was not okay. He was like, oh, no, we were just experimenting. And for me, that was a big question mark, because biologically, I enjoyed what happened. I enjoyed that he tied me up. I enjoyed the forcefulness. I enjoyed all of it. But I knew emotionally that it was not okay. And that's not how that fight should have ended.
Okay.
So the relationship went in the direction of a lot of experimenting with BDSM. Okay. So there were parts of it that I was excited about, that I bought toys for, scenes that I directed, but it became an excuse in the relationship every time we had a fight or every time I misbehaved. Violence was introduced.
So you weren't, it wasn't consensual at all. It just happened. And you knew it would happen.
That's what I'm saying. There were scenes that we had built together, times that we had sex where we negotiated things the proper way.
I want to talk about over time it became, because I think people won't understand. So sometimes in the BDSM community, I guess one of the vocabulary terms used is scenes. And it's basically where you're stepping outside of normal sex and or your vanilla shit or your regular life and you jump into that world. That's where the term scene is referenced. I don't know if people are thinking maybe they're like, oh, does she do porn?
Does she shoot scenes?
I mean, subscribe to my OnlyFans.
You know, yes, but not in this sense. You were just having different engagements with your partner.
Yeah, scenes means a structured sexual experience in which consent is renegotiated, your terms of exiting a scene or exiting the dynamic or negotiated, what you want to happen is kind of roadmapped.
And so during these scenes, essentially your safe words and what did make you feel comfortable, those boundaries were crossed a lot.
What I'm saying is there were times where we intentionally experimented, but then there were times we were just fighting or having sex and he used, you know, choking, hitting, all of these things.
Had you had moments where you asked him to stop or you just felt like this was what was normal?
Oh, I did. Really? That's what I'm saying. It's a controversial thing to say. Like, I was so blurred in this situation where biologically I didn't understand there were other people who liked pain and pleasure and there was a place for it.
Mm. And we've had him on the show. You actually told me that you did actually find your safe space in BDSM through NSFW. So did you leave your partner once you found that you could enjoy these things consensually?
No, I mean, I left my partner when he threatened to kill me. That was
okay. That's a whole nother. All right.
But then, you know, as I continued to date people, these questions came up. I still wanted to play. I met people naturally who were like me and wanted to have rough play and experiment. So there's a, you know, a playmate I've had for a really long time to this day. And one day he asked me, can you top me? I want you to hit me. I want you to humiliate me. And I just like went for it. It's not cute. It was not what he was asking. So I just Googled like workshops in femdoms and dominatrixes. And that's how I found NSFW. Just through a workshop.
So NSFW is a sex club. We talk about members only. We talk about Daniel Saint often. If you guys want to look it up, you can. But there's so many articles on NSFW, Forbes, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post. I've seen a bunch. And I'm curious to know your experience with NSFW specifically. What's been different from there, from other places that you think that they take heed to?
It's become really clear to me, especially during the pandemic, and it's a space that I inhabit a lot. I'm very involved in event planning and teaching and performing now. But as a bottom, so as someone who's submissive, as someone who has a female body, as someone who likes pain and, you know, dicks and toys and things in my ass, I'm in a naturally vulnerable place. So as much as I can identify as a man and with male energy, I don't have the same freedom to go on Grindr, to be tied up and have a guy just walk into my house.
Yeah.
Right. No, for sure. We talk about often how the gay community is just a lot more accessible with using Grindr and just having multiple partners, and they come, they play, they leave. Mm-hmm. But again, even with Tinder and other apps like that, for women, we don't have that luxury to just kind of
safety
have,
is just the major issue though.
For That's women,
the
thing. For sure.
It's like all across the board. I mean, even in lesbian relationships too, you know what I mean? Like rough play, like it's just, there's a weird boundary that people don't know how to respect when it comes to women. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's something we've been taught for a long time. I mean, shit, a few weeks ago, we just did an episode about the Bible. And it's like all of those things when it comes to women and the mistreatment, like it's just all back in our head and we have no idea where it comes from. But I want to know, when it comes to NSFW, has there been a time like, because I'm always curious when people are having what some would think of as violent sex, right? Have you had a conversation with the partners that you're about to play with at NSFW? Do people that work at NSFW set boundaries? How does that work? The boundary setting. Is it you? Is it the club? Is it the person that you meet? How does it work out in that structure?
Well, the club itself creates a safe space. It's a community. So there's a certain level of accountability just built in. Mm-hmm. There have been plenty of people who I've played with and things have not gone well, who are no longer in the community.
Interesting.
There's also the education aspect. So my first official role in the community was I was head, what were they called? Nymph. So the nymphs are there to serve as the point of contact for consent.
I did not know that at all. So how many nymphs are normally at a party?
Depending on the size of the party, there should be two. There should be one okay. that's at the door, who's giving a little intro, like, stay hydrated, always ask for consent, don't be a creeper, no photos.
I've had someone tell me that.
Yeah, it was probably me. But there should be a circulating nymph that is the more close point of contact for whatever people need.
Got it. Okay.
The thing that I would differentiate between as well in that space, the first time that I went to NSFW during COVID, it wasn't the last time when I saw you, but the first time I brought my boyfriend, and to me, comparing it to other sex clubs is it is very kink focus to me in the realm where we first walked in, and it was pretty early. It was at 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30. So before everyone else started really piling in, and they were still doing their virtual show. And so we go in, and there is an Asian woman dressed as a complete dom, and she is pegging and whipping and spanking a crossdresser. And my boyfriend at that point, I don't think he had ever really seen that. And I was just like, I hope you're comfortable. If you're not, like, maybe we can, you know, because it's so large. But he was actually amused by it. Like, this was something that he had never witnessed in person at all. But also the fact that when they were done, I was like, girl, I love your outfit. And they were like, thank you. And they walked around. And I do enjoy that it is a space where you may have bisexuality, gay men, and of course, straight couples all in one room just enjoying each other.
Helps that
I really like that.
Daniel being bi himself.
Yes.
So one, you have a sex club run by a man who's bi. And to me, I don't know. I guess I don't know if I've ever been to a sex club where the owner was front facing. I can't really. I can't really think of one. And I think when you feel that connection to someone, you respect their space more. It's like an Airbnb. If you stayed at someone's house, you're probably going to be a little more tidy if you know them. And if you're in an Airbnb, you're going to be like, oh, fuck it. Is somebody going to clean it up? And I think that the close connection in that is really what has helped him create such a community like that with people. Like my first time going into an NSFW party, I remember being like, oh my God, everybody knows each other. They were welcoming to me, but I was like,
yeah, they do know each other.
They all fucking know each other. Like, have they all fucked? Like, and I was like, am I cute or are they trying to fuck?
Yeah, pretty much, right?
We all fucked.
But I was wondering, like, are they talking to me because I'm a newbie or are they talking to me because I'm pretty?
Honestly, we talk to you because we're genuinely curious. So, like, why you're here? What's your story?
Right.
And we want to know your fantasies. Like, right now we're building, I'm helping lead a new party called Kink.
Okay.
And it's sort of a fantasy space. So we're going to
pretty
have
basic.
Like,
that's a very
what's the
right.
Point? We're going to kink. Tonight.
We're going to kink.
What's it about? I don't know how else to explain.
Got it. So it's kind of borrowing from the model of lap dance parties, except like come and you can book a
lap dance party. That's a strip club, ain't it?
Yeah. What's a lap dance party?
That's a whole underground thing in New York where it's like not strippers, but you go to a space and there are a bunch of like pretty girls and you can get a lap dance. You could talk to them.
But that's a strip club, no? Wait, or is it just lap dancing?
No, a strip club is more explicitly like this is a stage. Like
the stage makes it different.
Well, the stage and like the floor is really just like
so. It's like a dry humping party.
It's a
dry humping party. I didn't know that was a thing.
How much does the common cost
for that?
The common cost, like entrance, is usually around $100, and then it's still like $20 a lap down.
Shit, that's for rich people, bitch. Like crack and coke.
I feel like
you know how coke a rich people drug. That lap dance shit is some rich people shit.
But hold on, this is expensive too. Yeah, but Sapphires. How much is the entry?
Entry? It depends.
It depends on the night.
I've been with my old sugar daddy, the white dude, when he got me that apartment on 54th. And we would always go to Sapphires, and it was always every time like 75. I mean, he looked rich, 7,500, whatever. And I was like, God, they are taxing.
Damn.
Now I let people get their coins. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes strippers would come up and they'd be about to give them this basic price. And I'm like, girl, go ahead. Like, just get it. And like, it's so funny because I think that, I don't know if this has happened to you, but when women come in with sugar daddies or like, you know, very like super old and you're a young girl or whatever.
I love that shit.
You love right? it?
Because they're always shit. In with you.
You understand, right? Well, you're because, like, I'm about to get money.
Right. There's a certain level of like him being a sugar daddy and like you kind of know if it's a stripper too. Like he gets it. He gets the system. So you know he's going to respect
bitch,
you.
They thought she was a stripper.
I don't think they thought I was a stripper.
With them
but,
titties they like, did. If you had them titties like that, I mean, in a little
dress. No, they dropped before then. Oh. I might have got a better looking dude if they were still high. But I remember like a few strippers would like kind of like give me a look or we would talk or like they'd whisper funny things mm-hmm. to me. Talking about girl. One girl said to me, we getting our cash tonight. I said, I know that's
right. Well, I'm excited to get mm-hmm. more into the BDSM conversation with you for the horrible decision. But y'all know, bitch, a pussy hoe like her outline. So
we always do an outline, Mandy.
I mean, but I really like an outline. So
but
I'll make sure
we never
we stick
not
to it.
Do an outline.
But
ever.
I like it. And people know that we've joked about you not so much liking it. So I'm going to make sure we stick to the one I made.
I read the outline.
You like it? You know what I mean?
I read the outline.
Because I knew like that first topic was sensitive and I didn't want to make sure like you were comfortable. So the vanilla shit for this week, for those of you who may be watching or listening to us for the first time, is our sex in the news topic. And this also somehow brings us back to our old kink of the week that we once had. We no longer have our kink of the week segment because we went through them all. Bitch, we
there's never too many kinks.
No, I think we did. There is. We don't went through them all.
Well, so, you know what it is? They just cross over a lot.
Okay.
We did the wild shit, like the eyeball licking and things with trees, but then it just became redundant.
Yeah, so you did scat. I was like,
we
okay,
did scat.
I can talk to these
and
bitches.
Then there's like wow. insects and shit. Episodes. Like, yeah, we did. We've done well over 200 episodes now. Okay. So, and I think even the site with all the kinks says there's only like 260. So if you know more, we'll have to talk.
I won't.
Clearly, I didn't know about that.
I would start watching porn and then I would like pull my own kink out of there. Like, okay, what am I seeing in this? What's this called? Like, that was what the shit I had to do.
That's what I did for this. The vanilla shit I found out. It happened in Ireland. Do you have an Ireland accent?
Let me get it going. Hold on.
Was that kind of all right?
It wasn't very Irish, Mandy. It wasn't very good.
It's like a German Irish.
Okay.
Are they by each other?
First of all, you're new to the fucking show.
So basically, guys, a couple was caught having sex on a grave, and a woman decided to film it. However, to her surprise, the couple did not seem to mind at all. The woman who didn't want to be named filmed the moment in the hope to embarrass the pair and condemn the behavior as a shameful carry-on.
But maybe they were fucking the person in their throuple.
And the person died? And you think they're trying to fuck the ghost?
That's the only way I could see it.
Well.
Because you wouldn't fuck on your mom or dad, but like, what if you guys were
whoa. You think that... So you think they was fucking on somebody they knew grave to have sex with the ghost or something?
How do you pick the grave then?
It could be anybody. Grave is just the grave.
So you just start walking and you're like, you know, I like that
I
name.
I like that name,
I like
bitch.
That. This is a nice
ass birthday.
Give me some head on the headstone.
So actually, when I was looking this up, I actually started looking up cemetery sex. And to my surprise, it is a very real thing. A lot of people get off on it. And there's actually a name for this kink. And I don't think we've ever done this kink. The kink is called coimetrophilia. And what it is the arousal of having sex or being aroused from a gravesite. Why are you looking like this? Don't kink shame, Weezy.
I mean, honestly, I was not scandalized by that at all.
No, you weren't surprised, no. Right?
How come I can't kink shame if they're not consenting?
Who's not consenting? The ghost? The dead people can't consent, Weezy.
My point is, you gotta be alive, my nigga. I'm sorry. Necrophilia is nuts.
And you know what necrophilia is, right?
Yeah, I know what that is.
That's fucking nuts. And so technically, this is just as adjacent. No.
Technically, it is the area. It is the
like,
place.
I like some Halloween-y shit. You know what
this
I'm saying?
This is Halloween-y shit.
This is not Halloween-y
sorry
shit.
Sorry he didn't dress up with a scream mask, Weezy.
No, I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling it?
I'm not feeling it.
Would you have sex on a grave?
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So how would you choose, like, would y'all choose a certain tombstone? Like, wait, have you done this before?
I have not, but it's on my list.
It's on your list.
It's on the list.
I thought you said you were Puerto Rican. This is very fucking...
This is white people shit.
Nah.
She said nah.
This is you the white Puerto Rican.
It's, I do like the idea of fucking the ghost. Like, I didn't think about it that way.
Wait, all right.
But the succubus incubus thing, I can understand. Yes.
But no, like, but it's also like feeling close to your own death. Like, I see that being part of the kink.
Girl, just get chopped off.
Bitch, just gag a little bit and feel like you lost your breath.
Let me think. Because I understand like goth culture and a lot of like.
And that's what came up for this for sure.
I get it. But for me, I mean, I think it's more like on the grave. Like, yeah, if you did it, how would you pick the grave?
I'd pick it based on the quote. Like, you know.
Not the quote. Wait, do you want
life is like a bird. I'm a bird ass bitch. Here we go.
Wait, do you want him to whisper the quote in your ear or something? Like, do you both have to just, you know, this is like a consent thing. So do you both
decide? So we got a vibe with the general
not segment. Vibe with the, she said vibe with the tombstone, bitch.
So like, are you going to do it like a Ouija board type thing? Like,
that would make it hotter.
You feel it?
Oh my god, that would make it hotter, bitch. Bring the Ouija board to the cemetery to fuck.
And let them pitch make it.
Fuck, I want to be like, does he love me? Why, bitch? Why? E? All right, I knew it, bitch. I knew you loved me. You know what?
You would probably want to pick a black tombstone. Be like, Darius. We fucking with Darius.
I hate her song.
It said he was born in Detroit. That's the one.
Let us know if this is toxic and wrong and problematic. It probably is. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like between this and the Bible episode, we're gonna have to put trigger warnings before our goddamn episodes now.
Why? Because we talk about dead people in
People in the Bible?
The Bible is worse. Somebody was fucking their own dad.
Yeah, and there was, I feel like that episode.
Let me tell you, I don't know if you know about the Bible, because I don't.
Oh, I do, but
you do.
Yesterday.
Oh, that's why Dan and I are best friends. We were both like cults.
Oh, that's right.
Like cult survivors.
Cult survivors. Yeah. All right, bitch.
I have a cult episode. We got to have you in for back's sake. No, I went to lunch yesterday with a friend, and I was telling him about how I was like, yo, we just did this amazing episode about the Bible, and it was so much shit I didn't know. And he was like, you talk about that story with Lot and the daughter's fucking their dad? And I was like,
bro, you know what's crazy? I got in the car with my nigga, because he picked me up, and I started he's like, he always asks, so what were your episodes about? Were they good? And I told him, and he was like, was she Muslim? Because that just sounds like some shit that some people would tell her. And I was like, no, but actually she was an atheist activist at one time. So, you know, she read the Bible
to defend
being atheist. And he was just like, you're probably gonna offend a lot of people with that episode. And I didn't think about it till I started. I was like, no, but she did it so good. He was like, you're probably gonna offend a lot of people with that episode.
You think?
Look at our cameraman's reaction.
I looked at it, I was like, yeah, this is new age.
But we had Pastor Corey on, who was talking about
just gay shit, but that's cool.
But let me tell you one thing that she did that I feel like made it better, okay? She talked about all these fucking crazy ass stories, and then talked about like the lesson learned from a lot of them, or how carnal things were, or how things weren't right. I don't feel like she used it to weaponize it, because she's like a total gung-ho Christian.
But even when I was having the conversation, he was just like, so the Bible is interpreted in so many ways that even the stories that she took verbatim, a lot of time those stories are used, what's the word? Not hypothetically, but...
To point out hypocrisy?
No, the stories come... They have underlying messages for them. So even though, yeah, it said they was raping, there was other messages involved. I don't know. We gonna have to see. We'll know the response by now. So.
See, this is a very... At that point, you know what I mean? Like the underlying messages, because people will make that point.
Yeah, of course.
That is so, like, I have a black friend, or what about this, or that was a long time ago. Like, no, they were raping. Tell me when it's okay.
For sure. That's what was in the Bible.
That's fucking nuts.
It is.
That's fucking insane.
But the thing with people have a lot of problems with a lot of shit
Well, guess what? We come on here every week and we talk about some disgusting shit. And you're telling me that we brought a woman on who wants to fuck on a gravesite? And that's not as bad.
I was about to throw in like the first time my mom horseshaded me, and I was like, oh, I got fucked in the asshole.
Wait, what? Okay, well, you just brought up the Buddha hall, and that's what is our hors d'oeuvre today, because you actually name yourself the anal sexpert. So for our hors d'oeuvre, which is our sex tip segment, we would like for you to give us an anal tip.
I think the most broad or the most accessible anal tip is that anal should be intentional.
Ooh, oh, okay. I like that. Because, yeah, I've had it just go there by accident because it was slippery. slippery. Excuse me. Sorry. But it was slippery and it just went into that hole instead of my pussy hole. And it hurt so bad to where I was just like, oh my God. So, and I actually think that that was one of my first experiences where I didn't, you know, want to ever have anal sex. Yeah. Okay. So you say that it should be intentional.
It should be intentional because it should not just be about the person's giving's pleasure. And in order, like, as a bottom, which we'll get into, like, the thing that I try to promote is that the bottom's pleasure, the receiver's pleasure is also, like, important.
Right.
So for me to experience pleasure in anal, I have to be emotionally there for it. I have to hygienically prep. I have to...
How do you prep?
How do I prep?
I have to make sure I don't drink coffee that morning, I'll tell you that.
Well, I know how my gay male friends prep, but I don't really hear about women talk about prep too much for anal.
So, I mean, I prep in some similar ways. Like, I do eat clean. I do avoid certain foods.
What are the foods you avoid?
I avoid, like, meats. I avoid cheeses. I avoid sauces.
Damn, all the shit I like.
Yeah. And I do this a lot, so I live a very clean...
Oh.
That's why you're so fucking tiny.
But there's
I'm not that tiny.
But there's a lot of fiber and things, even in vegetables. Yeah. So what does eating clean in terms of anal sex mean?
Well, in terms of, like, I know my own body and, like, what's going to produce what. So for me, like, I avoid cheese because that's a no-no for me. Meat, like, especially red meats are harder to process. So generally, that's one to avoid. Or, like, again, like, heavy creams. Those are pretty basic ones to avoid. Like,
pretty much. Milk.
Avoid
dairy.
Milk.
Okay.
I mean, you can eat light. You can not eat light. Make sure you're hydrated. But cleaning's also, like, douching, like, an hour
plus
before. Do you
want to shit before? Or do you want to shit? Or you want to, like, hold it? Like, do you want to make sure?
No, you don't want to hold it.
I was about to say, I don't know about holding
not
shit,
hold it. But like, okay, I think what I'm trying to say is
that's
like,
what you clean out your, like, a little bit of your colon.
But like, more so like, I'm trying to figure out how, what I'm, do you want to like go directly before you have sex, right? Or do you want to like fast that day? That's what I mean. Do you want to have?
Well, look, I train. So like, I'm also like kind of like a circus act. Like, I do something called anal gaping.
And I have to train. Bitch, you an anal acrobat.
You do the rose, buddy?
Oh, my God. Wait, what is the biggest thing you fit in your
asshole?
Could
this fit?
I can do 2.5 inches right now.
What is that?
Let's see.
What is that?
The iPhone is about 3.5. So we're going to go it's like right this. Here.
Wait,
this is the width.
Yeah, I can do like
so, like, this is about 2.5. Sorry.
Is that 2.5? Right here? This is the big one?
The big one. A little less than the big one, but I can do like
a little less than this big one? Yeah. Your Buddha hole could open up?
Yeah.
Oh, bitch. So what's the oddest thing you've ever fit in there? Because we actually talked about anal acrobats. What is
the oddest?
Yeah. Like, because there's a video where
wine bottle.
Women put wine bottles and stuff in there. What have you put? What have you been able to fit into that boot hole?
So I try to avoid things like that.
Okay.
Just because, like,
breaking.
I've had requests for bats. I'm like, well, the wood can get in. Like, things like that. Like, I
you've
did
had
do a wine bottle.
What request? Like,
so was it like.
Was it a baseball player, bitch?
I mean,
also, did the request come in like the form Probably. Of an email when they're like booking their session?
He was definitely Latino.
He liked baseball.
So, yeah, like, was it like an email submission? Like, do people like ask for options? Like, yeah, I need to know.
I mean, when it comes to like OnlyFans or camming, like, I will get requests. And like, part of the empowerment of like OnlyFans is like, there's a level of consent. Like, you don't have to make it, there's no studio director, there's no agent. But I have, like, toys that are pretty crazy. So I have a speculum, like, when you go to the doctor.
Right. Why do people
have
that shit?
They do, like,
people love that. And then you can, like, put stuff in it. Like, I've put a dildo. Or you can, like, pour liquids. Like,
what liquids have you poured in your booty hole?
I did a scene once where we poured, like, different salsas, like, from different countries.
Bitch, that's salsa! You did not put salsa in your ass! Did it burn?
Oh, bird.
This is not the Puerto Rican that I thought we were going to have.
She's
on.
A real Puerto Rican now.
She's like, eat my ass, nigga, because guess what? It's jalapeno. Okay, wait.
Holy shit. Okay, so I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Bro, how have we not heard it all yet? I have never heard of someone.
When you fart, what's it feel like? Does it hurt? It burns a little.
I mean, I could tell stories about how, like.
Tell the story.
You drip. Okay, so one of my boos. One of my bi-boos. I was at his house and he came a lot in my asshole. And then the next morning, like, I was just happy to be in Brooklyn and be in a Latino neighborhood. So I was just like working in the park, but I lost internet on my phone. So I went outside of his house to like just grab Wi-Fi for a second. And like all the cum just came out.
out of your, where did it go? Down your leg?
I'm squatting outside of his house just trying to send an email and I was going to go home. Yeah, I'm squatting. It just came out.
Were you wearing a skirt?
It was just, yeah. I was wearing a dress. It was
What color did it come out?
What color?
Was it, yeah, like, was it tan, beige, brown?
I was clean, so.
Was it a color, was it a hue of brown?
More like, a little bit, but not really, like. I was pretty clean that day. I hadn't really eaten.
Yeah. Bro.
But like, imagine,
I did not expect you to come in here and like,
does it feel like a release? Like, okay. You felt better? Did you feel like you were stuffed? So and you were like, oh my God,
honestly, it's gone. Gaping. There's something about gaping that's similar to BDSM where you do like, your head feels clear the next day after like intense anal, like.
Really?
You're girl, you kind of so awesome.
There's a mental you know aspect.
How many men are gonna fucking take this clip and show it to their girl and be like, yo, you've been trying to meditate and I've been trying to tell you to let me fuck you in the ass.
Holy shit.
I mean, subs talk about that all the time. Like, you have to get into a mental state when it, like, if it's just like an average guy or just if you're used to having anal, it's not that experience. But when you're really like, I do anal fisting too. So that is a whole process. I have to get into headspace. I do have to meditate. I do have to monitor my breathing to get like a male's fist in there. Which is probably the biggest thing I've had in there.
Do you think you can fit my nigga's fist?
I mean, how big is it? 2.5?
Nah, his fist is big as fuck.
I got to work up to that. I
gotta okay.
Work
up to that. Okay,
so how do you train your butt? Like, do you use dilators or are you past that point? Because I feel like we talk about
I mean,
butt plugs and stuff.
Oh, like I'm past butt plugs. Honestly, if I wear a butt plug, I just use it like because to turn someone on, like
because
they
cute.
Like seeing it in there.
Okay.
The way I prep for anything, you know, like if I'm doing my own training session or at this point, like I just take dick in my ass, like as long as there's some lube in there.
Have you ever done? Well, actually, we're not getting into horrible decision. We're going to get into that, too, because it's more of this.
That was just a horrible decision, squatting outside his house with the...
That was a pretty horrible fucking decision,
with the salsa.
But I prep for anal. I prep with my own fist. That's how I dilate.
My little T-Rex arms ain't going to allow that.
Let's see, ball up here.
Like, I can't get wrist deep just because of the logistics of it, but it's an easy, it's like one finger, and I do this when I do my performances, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sesame Street.
You gotta make it cute. This is some nasty shit.
You know
shit.
What I mean? We gotta make it cute because people are gonna be like, I could not get through this episode. We literally talked about Odell with Scat, and they were just like, oh, I just couldn't get past the shit.
I have a reservation at Dos Caminos tonight. And if you guys don't know what that is, it's a Mexican restaurant in New York City. And I'm going to think of you the entire time.
That's actually a compliment.
I have hot sauce for you for it. I know.
Get into the horrible decision. The horrible decision is a BDSM bottom bitch.
Yes.
So you have coined the bottom bitch phrase.
Why do you keep saying it like that?
Because it's spelled with. Because
with an E.
It's spelled with an E. Oh, bottom bitch. Bottom bitch.
Like this is a Mean Girls episode.
Bottom bitch. You know what I mean? All right. I mean, I'm not trying to make fetch cool, but we're going to make bitch cool. So can you explain to us now then, what is a bottom in BDSM specifically for a woman?
Okay. So bottoming, like I was looking up some of this just to make sure I was correct on my way here. Bottoming comes from the gay community and it's this, it started off just to differentiate like the person who's giving and the person who's receiving.
Right.
More recently, there's been crossover to bottoming is more related to being submissive. So I could peg a guy or a guy could technically top another guy and still be considered a bottom.
So bottoming now is like a new age term for everybody, basically.
I mean, the term is changing.
Okay.
The reason why I claim bottom and most, I guess, girls who take in the ass or subs don't is has to do with my gender identity. So because I do inhabit male and female, it bottoming accesses my male.
Okay. That does make sense then to me. All right, I have, and I guess you just answered too. So there's not really a difference between bottoming and subbing, but because you do take forms of both, you just can identify as a bottom instead of using the word sub.
I'm saying they're not synonymous.
Okay.
But there's more flexibility within the gay community for bottoming not to just be the receiver. And that, like, certain people align it with submission and your role as being sort of the co-conspirator in a fantasy. Than necessarily the person who takes in the ass.
So let me ask you this too, because we've talked about And I guess it was my difficulty in wanting to even refer to myself as sub, because even my partner now thinks that I'm a great sub. And it's, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, no, I'm a dom. So when it comes to subbing, how much control do you feel like you do have outside of consent when you're receiving anal, when mm-hmm. you're playing with the toys? How much control do you feel like you have being a bottom and being a sub?
I feel like I have more control.
Which is what Weezy says that a lot as well, too, because she identifies as a sub and oftentimes feels more in control. And I don't know, for me, I guess, listening to the word sub, I have not mm-hmm. been able to.
I mean, word association, like submissive is definitely something that makes you feel powerless when you hear that word. But I think the main thing about it is if I'm doming someone, which only really had been girls that I've dated, I still felt like I was at their will and not as in control, because I was never going to do something they didn't want.
Right.
So like, it never made me feel as in control. I can't even explain it. Like, I don't know. It's maybe it's a personality thing, but like sometimes like I don't necessarily feel very powerful when my voice is loud, or I don't feel very powerful if I'm on stage. Like, I don't feel like that. Sometimes I feel like, I mean, and I've learned that a lot through doing horrible decisions. Like, I feel like I'm serving people. You know what I mean? Like, my job is to like make you happy because you're here. And so with subbing, it doesn't make me feel, I don't know. I mean, with doming, it doesn't make me feel very like in control and on top. I can't explain it. I've never gotten that from doming. Maybe a few times with like smacking for, I'd say like a man particularly, maybe I've felt that, but never have I truly felt like I was more in control than subbing. And I think that a lot of people need to experience it, especially subbing on your own accord, right? So like you've talked about how like you didn't know it was going to happen, but if there was maybe a night where you picked everything you wanted him to do by your rules, I think then you would more so feel like you took the power back.
Well, and that's what he's told me. He's like, there's been so many times that you actually have been in control and I've been sub to you and you don't see it as that. But even with me bringing him to the sex club, going to the nude beach, things in which I've introduced him to new things, he's like, you don't even realize it, but I'm completely submissive to you in those times because you're showing me things that I don't know. And so it's been those conversations where I'm like, oh, okay, because I have felt completely submissive. I remember like maybe early on, maybe the third or fourth time we had sex, I felt like I had never been dominated like that ever in sex. And I like just slapped the fuck out of him just so that I could feel like, shit, I've run something here. And so like, we have had that conversation. But yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Like, I don't know. I think I am hung up on the words, which is crazy because specifically in this space, a lot of guests that we've had on don't want to be hung up on titles. And so we do actually like you said, even the fluidity of going between sub and bottoming and it being synonymous, but not really using those words to mean what we think for them to mean.
What are some other terms that we don't know? Do you know any, or if any, if besides subbing or bottoming?
I mean, we could also get into the language of like sadism and masochism.
Okay.
So like I was in a 24/7 master-slave dynamic recently.
Okay.
So that meant like we did have check-ins regularly, but there was this general sense of these are the things you do. And when I walk into the room or even when we're texting, like you control.
So when you were in that 24/7 relationship, the last time we talked about it was Kinks with Kiki and I referenced the movie The Secretary. Were you living together? What was your dynamic like? How long did you see each other? I mean, or how often did you see each other?
So it was poly. We weren't living together. Mm-hmm. I saw him once a week and that would be like our date night, but also our like punishment night.
Got it.
And it took different forms depending on like what was happening in the world. So like while I was stripping, it was based on my like outcome stripping and generally how I respected him as a top.
Elaborate?
What do you mean? Yeah, what is that? Stripping? Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah. You're using words. What is outcome?
You're using words.
I mean, she's using words, and I'm just like, wait.
What? The outcome of your stripping.
I mean, like, how productive was I that week?
With money?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, got you. And he would punish you if you ain't make enough?
Yeah, I mean, he'll punish me if he felt like it. Like, that was built into it. But okay. There was a sense of, like, the whole point of the dynamic was to improve me as a person. So anything that was tied to punishment.
Oh, I love that.
Was tied to self-improvement.
Okay, yeah.
Bitch, you better suck them dicks tonight.
I mean, that's what I'm like. It's crazy because I'm like having that conversation, like, you know, going to Mexico. We would have already been to Mexico. But the idea of me, if I do decide to do something, making sure I FaceTime him to watch or ask him first. Like, he's like, I know you're going to misbehave in Mexico. And I'm like, no, but I want your dick.
You want to do the FaceTime to watch?
Yeah. I've actually shared that with him. I said, listen, if I do anything or I think I'm going to do anything, I'll be sure to FaceTime you and ask if I can do it first. This is what we decided.
FaceTime during her?
I kind of want to, I'll let him know, but then he has to watch. Like, that's been the thing. If I do something, you have to watch.
Wait, you want that?
Yes, I told him.
Does he want to watch?
He ain't got a choice. It's what I said we're going to do.
Like, no, he does have a choice, have a choice,
but not really. Like, this is because...
But so, I'm only saying that because the watching, I think it's a lot deeper than you think. Like, well, and that's, it took me a long time to get to watching.
This is the conversation we've been having because even in at the sex club, the first time we went, he played with two other women. And the last time we went, it was just me and him. We were playing with each other.
Though.
We talked to other people. Yeah, but he's been like, so you don't want to, like, he tried to get me to play with you.
And right,
he
was, but just hear me.
Like, did you show up?
I know. So
when you're in Mexico and you're away and someone knows that someone else is there.
Yeah, I probably had multiple dicks in me at that time. Both.
Yeah, see,
Both were there. Both of them were there.
Yeah, and now that I remember that night, you were definitely getting it in on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
But no, but he's been.
Just be careful of vacation territory.
I know. I'm really like.
With watching, I mean.
Well, I'm also just because. He feels like I'm just so open. Like, we've talked about threesomes, but I do feel like he feels like my guard is up with him because, of course, when we first met, I went on some, just so you know, I ain't cutting off all my hoes, but I'm just looking for somebody for, I was looking for a 24/7 replacement when we met. And he has become way more than that. And so the things that I said early on ain't applying right now because I don't want no other dicks, but he wants me to get other dicks too.
I mean, this is just like only me speaking from experience with watching and I can tell you how it went. Like, now it's a little different, right? So, the beginning, watching was the first thing we did, like a FaceTime thing, right? And I remember the immediate feeling I had, which was like when it was over, I'm like, well, now what? Like, I'm going to bed and they're chilling, or like that person didn't.
Also,
then I started thinking more like, okay, well, like maybe they just wanted to get over that because it's awkward for a little bit. Like, do I sit there the whole time? Like, what's happening? And then do they want to fuck without me watching? Like, a lot of that was going through my mind and it almost made it uncomfortable because it was like, damn, bitch, I'm the one who fucking did what you wanted me to do, right? So now it's a way better dynamic. It's like consent before it happens.
Okay.
And kind of like the after call, which I love doing. I've done it and he's done it. And like, I've been in the bed and he's like, I know you was a little hoe, bitch. And I was like, I love. And we'll talk about it and it's fun. And like, or the next day we'll even do it. Maybe if it's like super late at night. But the watching is different. It's way more different than you think.
Well, and you have multiple.
When it comes to FaceTime, I mean.
I want to know what your experience has been with this. Have you ever like had sex with one of your partners and made another watch either via FaceTime outside of the sex club? We know bitch, I just told you I took two dicks there.
Before the sex club, when I was still in a poly kind of situation or just like an open relationship,
yeah, that's
we would do Snapchat.
Okay.
And
you would send videos.
You would send Snapchats while it was happening.
I think that's better.
So maybe do that, not the FaceTime.
But I do like the after call because there is this sense of like, naturally, I think the cuckold fantasy on the giving or the receiving end, there's something that's a little bit tied to fear.
I definitely feel like
it's reclaiming or transforming fear into something erotic. Whether it's natural to you or not, it's still tied to fear. So to have that aftercare, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other nice part about it too, like one of the things that I've asked for was like no sleepovers. And it's so juvenile now that I think about it, because like there's so many late nights in Miami or wherever, like normally a lot of vacation shit. And, you know, he asked me once, like, what's the sleepover thing to you? I was like, that's like the most vulnerable and sacred thing that I think we do. And that's really why, to me, the sleepover was a big deal. So this nigga's called me at like 8:30 in the morning and like exhausted, like, okay, she left. And I was like, okay, now you can go to bed. Bye. I mean, it's a weird thing. I don't know. But there's something about being able to go to bed together or talk about it or have that moment. It's fun. Like, whereas before, maybe I would call my homegirls and talk about what happened, but now I can call you. So I like that.
It's fun,
but I only bring up the FaceTiming thing because I think it is cuckolding in a way. It's virtual cuckolding, but I think that it's really heightened when you're away from each other, and I feel like that would be hard for me to manage, you know. So I think for a first time, I just can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what we want, because he's definitely like been just saying, I know you're going to have fun out there. And I'm like, no, babe, I'm not. And then it recently got brought up. I was like, well, if I do, you're going to watch. And he was like, and kind of looked like it was exciting that I offered that. So now, like, I guess we have to talk through it. I don't know. I've never done this shit before. Not with a nigga like that I've been with. I mean, this is all
also
new.
I FaceTimed once while someone I was dating was fucking this girl. And I remember, no. It was Old Bay, New Year's. I was away. He was in another country. We were both in two different countries. And I remember specifically, he was like saying, love you and all this stuff. And the girl's right there in the cab. And she was feeling weird. And I was like, oh my God, like the other person too. I didn't really think of like, maybe now she doesn't want to fuck him anymore. Like,
would you feel weird?
Well, so on that point, I just like went away with like someone that I'm seeing and his boyfriend.
Oh.
And there were times that we played together, but there were a lot of times they were like just on the couch, like having their moment, and I was there.
And so you've mentioned a few times, and I want to ask this because we have had recently two bisexual men on the show. Can you explain to maybe our listeners your experience with dating bisexual men?
I think I've always been attracted to people, both men and women, since I also identify as bisexual, who, again, have very strong male and female energies, but have not been comfortable with that.
Okay.
And what I've found through NSFW, because it's a very, there's a very large bisexual sub-community, are bisexual men that I really connect with. And of the two people that I'm seeing, one, I inhabit a more male dominant role, and the other one, I inhabit a more female submissive role. But I find such a comfort with their sexuality, such a flexibility in shifting in those energies, and just an acceptance of me.
I love that.
In the time away that you said you went somewhere with one of your boos and their boyfriend, have you had experiences with male, male, female threesomes outside of bi threesomes? And what was the main difference for you?
Male, male.
So like having sex with two men that don't touch and then, you know, ones that are intimate as they are.
Oh, I've had both. It actually happens a lot of times at NSFW.
What
where,
do you
like,
prefer? What's
one of my dynamics is, like, when we're at a party, he, like, if a guy comes up to me and starts flirting with me, like, I can have sex with that guy, like, if he's also fucking me. Or, like, if I'm also sucking his dick. So it's a lot of straight men we have sex with, but, like, he's part of the chain.
Okay. Yeah. Which a lot of men feel okay with that. Do you? Which do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy where they play with each other or where there's a chain and they are kind of separated by you?
I mean, I enjoy
double
penetration.
Like double vaginal, double anal.
You've done double anal.
Yeah.
How does that work? So we actually had a question in our Atlanta show where a guy said the dicks kept slipping out. How do you keep both dicks in your ass? Or is
it's like they will slip out, but it is about positioning and you have to be comfortable with readjusting.
What's the best for you? Do you have to sit on it?
Like, can you just sit your face, Weezy? Weezy's like, how do you do it?
Was it really like that?
Yeah, your face was like
I was honest to God thinking of it. That's why I was like, huh. Because for me, what I would think is like, I'd be sitting facing forward someone, like almost like girl on top, and then the other one comes behind me.
That's what I would think.
Right?
It's like you're bent over, but you're almost sitting. Where there's like a guy underneath you who's like in the pussy, and then the guy comes in from behind in the ass, or like double in either.
Got it. Okay.
So it's kind of like almost sitting like this.
And you, like, do you come? Have you had an anal orgasm that way?
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just put out there, I come more from anal than I do from anything else, which is part of the anal sexpertise.
Makes fucking sense.
But I love it, especially when it's in a context of two bisexual men or a gay man or a male-male couple, because I think there's something, like, I'm really enjoying it, just base pleasure. But there's a way in which my body allows them to connect that I feel so much like compersion and joy that I can help them. Like,
I just talked about compersion on something on Quibi with our friend Shan Booty. And I was like, you know, compersion is so interesting because for those of you who don't know, compersion is the like opposite of jealousy when you're feeling like overwhelming joy for someone that's enjoying pleasure or in love with someone else. I feel like I'm half, right? Like I love and feel amazing when someone that I care about is enjoying sex with someone else, but not necessarily when there's an emotional attachment. But that's interesting because you're saying that you know you're the bond between these two people, and that makes you feel good. We have a good friend, Deb, she came on, and she's been a unicorn for a long time. And she would always try to explain it to me. I never got it. She's like, sometimes I feel like the missing piece, or I love watching the two of them, or seeing this couple's love makes me feel happy. And there were times where, I don't know if necessarily judging, but I would wonder if she enjoyed it because she wasn't having love. Like, she was single. And I'm like, I wonder if that's her way to get it, or if it's really that. You know what I mean? And I'm curious, like, do you ever feel emptiness from it if you're not necessarily
a part of the relationship? Yeah.
So it's just on a 2 week or so, a little more, like almost 3 week vacation with a couple. Right. And the trip wasn't about me. I was there just because, you know, I love this person. I wanted to spend some time with the person they love. And also I need to get away. So there was a lot involved, but it wasn't about me. And I went knowing that, like, this is not about my pleasure. I'm going to be sleeping in my own bed. Like, a lot of times, like I said, they just had sex on the couch next to me. And what I learned was, like, after a while, like, yeah, I do have my own needs. And I had to find agency in that and say, hey, I need a kiss before bed, or I need a hug in the morning.
Because you too have your needs, even though you're there providing for a couple.
So there's a space to love the experience and for compersion, but it's also important to advocate for what your needs are and to navigate what the situation is.
Come on, communication.
Did you spend every night alone?
There were like one or two nights where like maybe the other person stayed out late, but pretty much the whole time.
I ain't gonna hold you. I went on a trip with one of my lovers last summer, and I invited three of my friends, and I let them know y'all may or may not have to, you know, sleep with me and my nigga. And they did. And I loved it because my friends, after they joined us in some play, they left the room and allowed me and him that space. And they were like, all right, we'll see you at the bar. And they literally left us and allowed me to, you know, enjoy that space with my lover by myself, which I appreciated. Before we do get out of here, I do want to quickly get to the whole meal, and we're going to make this one quick. So this is, please feel free to give any advice because it is dealing with sugar daddies. So it says, hey, ladies, back in 2016, when I was 21, I met a sugar daddy, she put in quotes, grandpa, out and about in ATL, who I've been dealing with ever since. His dick is trash, but the money and fun spirit keeps me around. He's also a trash ass nigga who lied about his wife and kids. Okay. And even went as far as to sleep with my best friend, which eventually caused us to end our 9-year friendship. I'm a vengeful person. Sorry, not sorry. I'm a Leo. So I always had it in my mind that I would get him back. In May 2019, he planned to take me out to celebrate my graduation, but his business meeting ran over a bit. So instead, met him at the Four Seasons where he was having his meeting.
Oh boy.
Needless to say, I met some of his colleagues and decided that I would fuck one. Big Dick Willie, BDW is what we'll call him. We exchanged numbers and hit it off almost immediately. Initially, I thought I would handle him like grandpa, hanging around just for money and a good time, until he hit me with that dick. Girl, this man fucked me like no other. This man has devil dick and he's super open, freaky, and his stamina is unmatched. We even got tickets to the ATL show, but it was canceled. I know, bitch. I would have loved to meet you now. Fast forwarding,
I wanted to do it again.
Bitch,
I did not believe it was going to happen, bitch.
Weezy was really like, I mean,
they'll put masks on.
Bitch, she was really like,
but look at it later.
We don't know if they got coronavirus from us. Fast forwarding to now, in May 2020, BDW told me that he had met someone who he was interested in dating. So we decided to stop fucking. I am super chill, so I had stepped back and stopped hitting him up out of respect for his relationship. He, on the other hand, continued to hit me up here and there through IG in a friendly manner. It started to be flirty back in August, and I kind of played into it, but not too much. Now he is full on trying to fuck, and I am truly confused on what to do. I haven't had sex since him and have no desire to fuck with anyone else. I'm too scared to get some weak ass dick from somewhere else and be disappointed. But I want to fuck him, but I feel like still dealing with karma from grandpa being married, and that's why I can't find a man now. Oh my God, I went through this. BDW and I keep making plans and then going back on them because we both know it's wrong. What should I do? Fuck him and get 10 more years of bad karma and feel guilty afterwards, or block his ass and cut ties for good? I'm not going to lie. I just actually want to mention that this has been something I've been going through with my current relationship. I think for a long time, because I've openly had relationships with married men, a part of me felt like, all right, karma gonna come. I just ain't ever gonna get a nigga. This is all I should take from what men are giving me. So I thought my relationship with 24/7 and all my other lovers made sense because that's what I get for fucking with these married men. So I understand where she's coming from with that. Also the fact that she was vengeful in this. I think that the way she started it out wasn't a way in which she was looking for a relationship. However, because his dick is so good, maybe she does want more from him, which is why she decided to pull back.
It's like
because
dick.
He started dating. You know what I mean? So I think that if you can get in your mind that you can still enjoy this person without being in a relationship with him, then go for it. But if you genuinely want something deeper with this person, I would say cut ties right now, because it's, you're just going to be teasing yourself and making yourself feel more bad for the things that you feel like karma has come and, you know, ridden you with.
I do think karma is a real thing. Like, I think, I mean, you may have paid yours in other ways and we'll never know. Like, I think my first relationship was someone who was, and this is really why I don't ever want to sleep with a married man. The first man I really fell in love with was married and I genuinely didn't know. And then when he told me, I was trying to break up with him and he ended up getting a divorce. And we were together for 2 years after that. And I remember feeling guilty the whole time. True, I wasn't the reason they divorced, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure it was just the push over the edge for him. They were already separated at the time, which is what made it so easy to date me. But I think back to it all the time and I'm like, I was young, but also I keep letting it happen. Like, I could have taken myself out of the equation, but I stayed, right? And to me, that selfishness is what really made a lot of the relationships difficult for me that I had, or made love troubling to find and different shit. Like, I just had a lot of issues with relationships and I always believed it was the karma. I think that shit is real. I feel like it's just, I don't know. And even if it's not necessarily real, you'll manifest it in some way. We'll be too pessimistic about a relationship because we knew we fucked someone over. Or when you feel that guilt or you know something's wrong, I think you do have to let it go.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I also believe in karma and you see in your life, but I don't think that should let you not realize your full desires or your full needs.
I agree with that too. Absolutely. And bitch, I desire cash. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nah, let me stop. I like it, but
it's,
yeah,
it's
no.
Weird because there's this thing about money in my head, like when it comes to sex workers, right? Where I'm always just like, well, that's different. Well, I don't know why it's so different, but to me, but for me, I think the emotional aspect of cheating and enabling someone to cheat that's married, that makes it more fucked up, especially when you're with someone that may ultimately want a relationship. But when it is sex workers, I'm like, okay, well, you getting paid, bitch, it's your job.
That's what I said. I mean, if
I don't think drug dealers are wrong, well, because I mean, they serve the fiends, like,
but I mean, I think
that's their job.
That to me, if you are engaging in sexual activity for money, whether you want to call it a sugar daddy, or even in my case, I've come on here and said all the married men I financially gained from. So if it sounds better or in my mind makes me feel like, okay, maybe karma won't come to me because I enacted as a sex worker, then okay. You know what I mean? I don't think that me dealing with married men in the capacity that I did was barely any different than a sex worker. I engaged in those relationships for a financial gain. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Part of it, yes, part of it was wrong, but a part of it does make me feel like, okay, well, I was providing a service. It was a job. You know what I mean? Like, so will karma actually come back for me? I think it was more so how I valued myself and what I felt like I deserved from men because I engaged in these relationships. So.
And that's what I'm saying. What you deserve doesn't change.
Right.
Like, how life is going to play out for you is going to play out for you. And if anything, that's part of the karma itself. Is like the guilt that eats you.
Yeah, it is. And I think that that's what it is. I think just the guilt and how I decided to continue moving. No, so you're completely right. Daya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you let us know where our followers may be able to follow you? I know you have your Instagram, your Twitter, your OnlyFans. Go ahead and plug that in. It will be in the description of the episode.
Daya.dare. Twitter is at the bottom, bitch. DayaDare.com. OnlyFans at DayaDare.
Okay.
DayaDare.
DayaDare. So DayaDare. The husband eater. Dare.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Horrible Decisions. Make sure to stay tuned. We are leaving you with a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon. That's right. If you're all caught up on Horrible Decisions, make sure that you go on over to patreon.com/horrible decisions and become a motherfucking patron. Hope.
That's right.
And thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Ladies, I love everything you do. I just found something out. I'm freaking out. I have no clue what to do. I was just informed by my boyfriend that his ex has herpes and did while they were together. She wasn't having an outbreak then. They never fully had sex. I don't know what the fuck that means. But I know your episode with Ella, that's still possible to even get it then. And it's extremely common. So I'm not upset over the possibility that I have herpes. I'm pissed off that I was just informed of this almost a year into our relationship. He's never been tested for it or an STD in general. It was dumb and not like me to still have sex with him after that, but I immediately got tested on my own. But as discussed on Ella's episode, they don't test for herpes. Not caring about your own sexual health is one thing, but I feel like not caring about your partner's sexual health is another. I don't care if I have it, like I said, but I just feel very betrayed and disrespected. I'm not sure what to do. He knows I'm mad at him, but would dumping him be over dramatic? I feel like hiding something is kind of a deal breaker. Please help me. I'm a patron. You can read this on there too.
So she mentioned that she got tested, but realized that they don't test for herpes. That's only because you have to just ask for that test. So they do test you for herpes. If you go in for an STD screening, however, you have to ask for them to include herpes. So
yeah,
she's just saying
like she got tested after, but like, you know, it's something that you've got to request or whatever.
Right. So just go back and request it.
I think the interesting thing is dumping him over dramatic. Cause she said it's not about the herpes. It's about, the deal breaker from hiding something. I'll be honest with you. And I'm surprised I'm even saying this, but I don't even know if he realized he was hiding something. And here's why. If a year later he told you, I think here's the interesting thing. You can be mad that he didn't care enough about your health, because that is something that's super important that people don't give a fuck about, right? People care about themselves and people are worried about their own shit. Not everyone is as conscientious about others around them. That's why people voted for Trump, right? That's like just a more over larger issue. People are not selfless like they need to be. That is an issue for you. Let that be the issue for you. But if he eventually told you, he probably never realized that he was quote unquote lying, right? So I don't know if dumping him for that would be over dramatic. I think dumping him should be because you feel like he doesn't care about that as much more than he hid it. Cause I don't know if he hid it.
I think that this would be a time for you both to talk about your sexual health. And being that he never went and got tested, to me, there's nothing technically wrong with him not disclosing the health of someone else. I think that this is something to where you both can take as a learning lesson, but the fact that he didn't disclose something that could be very private to someone else, to me, it's more so the fact that he never thought the need to go and get tested, which means he may not see herpes as a big deal, which means the two of you may need to open up about your views on sexual health as it pertains to STDs. And this could be the time to where you both go and get tested together, or you find out from him why herpes isn't a big deal to him. Maybe he feels like it's not that big of a deal as long as you don't get outbreaks, or maybe he feels like, so many people in the world, I mean, we've talked about it even on the episode, 80% of people have some form of herpes simplex. Of course, there's the one on your mouth and the one on your genitals, but also herpes can end up in any moist area on your body. You can get herpes in your goddamn armpit. So I think that it's important for you guys to discuss your views on sexually transmitted disease and your sexual health, and not use this as a time to badger him or punish him by breaking up with him. But this is a chance for you to educate him and maybe see where his views are on this.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing is that he may not just understand. And everything is a learning moment and a teaching moment, excuse me. And when it happens like this, especially if he told you a year later, it doesn't sound like a lie. Also, bitch, what is never fully had sex? Because you look white, Zoe, and I wonder if this is some white people shit. Because when white people say, we hooked up, I'm like, what that mean? I don't know what hooked up means. Do you know what it means, Mandy? Because I don't.
Hooked up without sex? Maybe
no,
just make
people be like, yeah, we hooked up once. And you're like, what?
That's what I'm saying. Hooking up is sex.
That's what I thought. Let me look. So, what is hooking up?
But hooking up is the same way we talked about dating meaning something depending on the person.
Oral hooking up can mean hooking up.
I mean, but we also say oral sex is sex. So my nigga, it's still sex.
Okay, well, maybe that's what she means. They never fully had sex. When she said they never fully had sex, that made me think to myself,
maybe they dry humped, foreplayed, and oral. Right.